Hey guys, it's Kayla Yule from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new KFC fried chicken nuggets now, available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
Before we jump into the show, we'd like to thank our launch partner, Kanaday Pet Food. Kanaday is quite simply made by pet people. They understand that pets are members of the family too. They use the same ingredients they want for their own pets in the food that they make. No corn, no chicken byproduct, no wheat, no soy. Foods I've always felt great about feeding my own animals. Try Kanaday with a special offer for our listeners at kanaday.com/MRS podcast. I don't ever really want to talk about who I'm dating or if I'm dating because people feel an ownership of me. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm Heather B. Armstrong.
And I'm John R. Bray. And this week we are going to jump right in and talk about the ins and outs and ups and downs, and mostly downs, of dating and relationships as single parents.
Yeah, that's me moaning. Here goes. Here we go.
So much to cover. This is going to be like a 6.5 hour episode, so just get a comfortable seat.
It's our dating lives to our exes' dating lives, introducing those people... even friendships, even you have to be careful with friendships when you have kids and are introducing those into their lives as well. Let's just talk about friendships. Let's not get into the romantic, please.
Friendships are hard enough, right?
Oh, man. Also, can I just say that both of my kids are not sick today? So today is a really, really good day.
And you just tempted fate right there.
Oh,
see? Now they're both going to get the school is going to call. That's what's going to happen. They're going to call. Both of them are vomiting.
I'm going to turn all the phones off. All of the phones are off. They can't contact me. Oh, my God. Okay.
Wow.
Do we jump right into this? Do we really want to jump right into this?
We should. I think we have to. I mean, if nothing else, it's worth talking about how we find time to even consider new relationships of any kind, whether they're friendships or more than friendships.
Yeah. And can I just say that really quickly that I feel like a horrible, horrible, horrible friend all of the time.
Just because, universally to everyone?
Yeah. I feel terrible because I don't have time. I mean, it comes down to that. Like, I'm really horrible about answering email or getting back to somebody if they leave a voicemail, or people who want me to hang out on a Thursday night or go get coffee. And I feel like I'm a horrible friend because my schedule is so packed that I can't do it. And like, I feel really, really guilty all the time about it. And I'm going to make time. And then the more I say that I'm going to make time, the more my life completely fills up. Like it's like water filling my life. Water just fills every corner of my life. And it's like every single moment is taken up.
Right. There's no downtime, right? Because when people who don't have kids don't work, there's downtime. I mean, there's the regular like life things, but otherwise there's time that they can have for themselves. And you know, for me, I mean, I'm a huge advocate of making time. That's my thing. You know, you never have time. You have to make it.
Right.
But there's a certain point where you can't keep making it. Like you have to pick, you know, I'm going to make time for these two things. And anything past that, that's it. Which means maybe you make time for lunch with a friend. And the next chance you have to make time is a month from then. And it's 30 minutes for coffee because there's nowhere else that you can make time.
Yeah, I'll actually say, okay, this is what I'm going to do with the next 10 minutes. I'm going to go through all of my text messages and answer all the text messages, and then I have to walk away. And so when they respond to those text messages, I'll get to them. I'll get to them 3 days later when I have the time to sit down and answer those text messages. I I just feel bad. I really do. Because it wasn't always like this, you know? It wasn't always like this.
No, and it shouldn't always be. I mean, I'm a little different because my brain works better with like a constant level of organized distraction. So I can stop and text and do those things. But when it comes to a larger investment, you know, whether it's a half an hour or 2 hours, that's when it gets hard.
Right.
For me. Texting is great. I'll be there for texting day and night. But big commitments and commitments in advance, you know, like what am I doing next Friday? God, I have no idea. And I'm breathing, hopefully.
I'm like, am I going to be in town? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if I will be in the country. I cannot give you any concrete, you know, whether I'm going to be there or not. Sorry.
Right. And whether, you know, your girls will be healthy, right? As long as they're not vomiting. Yeah. I mean, there's all of these different things that come into play where I think, well, I know what I'm doing next Friday or what I'd like to do next Friday, but I don't know what Lexton is doing. I don't know if I have anyone to watch him. I don't know if I, you know, so all of those things. And that makes maintaining friendships difficult, and it makes creating new friendships and relationships almost impossible.
Right. Right. I've noticed significantly in the last, you know, 18 months of doing this, that I don't see all of my really dear friends nearly as much as I used to. And it's an absence, it's a void, and I miss it. And it's necessary as a healthy human being to have those nurturing relationships. And it's healthy to give in those relationships, in those friendships. And I think that's what I'm missing most, is being able to give them what they need, like listening and talking and bringing them, you know, a meal or whatnot, or just even just hanging out and exchanging stories. I feel I missed that giving, I think, is what I miss the most.
Exactly. I mean, you know how much that friendship means to you. So when you take a step back and realize that it hopefully means the same to them, and
yeah,
they are making time because their circumstances are different or whatever the case is, and you can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. And you don't want to lose those friendships. Like you said, you need them. You need that interaction.
I do need them. I try to, like, I want to tell people, like, please don't take it personally. Like, please don't take my not being there or my inability to get back to you in a reasonable amount of time. Please don't take it personally. I only have two hands. And usually those two hands are putting out six fires over here. And I will get back to you. I'm so sorry that it can't happen right now.
Yeah, I have a couple friends that I've known for a decade, and they have three little girls. And their oldest is four years younger than Lexton. And I try to see them every other weekend, one night, when Lexton is with Heather. And just to make everything work, you know, we don't get together until 9, until all of the kids are asleep.
Right.
So we have that time, but we're all just spent. It's like sitting there, sipping a drink, basically dead. But
right,
we're there. But it's like we all know that we need to get together because that time is so valuable.
Right. Me and my really good friend who has two kids, the ages of Lita and Marlo, I mean, literally, it's like we basically help each other with our kids on the weekends, and then by Sunday night we go get some pho. I did not know how to say that word. We go get some pho, and we just sit and drink wine, and like, just that's it, you know. And it's so good. It's so good to just sit there.
It's amazing, and you don't realize that. I don't want to say it doesn't count, but when you have friends with kids, when you get together with your friends and the kids and it's this big thing, that's a different kind of getting together.
Yeah.
And I love my friends' three girls. They're great kids, but it's different. You know, when it's the three of them plus Lexton plus us, it's a totally different environment. And it's not the same as sitting back and sipping wine and eating pho.
Because one part of your brain is constantly like, who's gonna break their neck? Who's gonna break their neck first? Who's breaking their neck?
Right, right. Were those tears? Whose tears? Are they gonna end soon? Do I need to intervene here? Yeah. And that's just friendships, right? And these are friendships that we've had. Like these aren't friendships that we've developed since all of this has happened.
No, and these aren't romantic friendships either.
Right. Yeah, that's a totally different ball game.
Do we go there?
I think we should. And I think you should probably start because you have been single parenting longer than I have. And you have, you know, waded into the world of dating. And I have not yet.
I have waded. I have waded into the pool. The cesspool.
Oh, come on. It's Salt Lake. It's got to be great.
Salt Lake. Okay. So, yeah, let's just begin there. It's Salt Lake is a horrifying place to date people. Sorry, Salt Lake.
Why? It seems like a great city. I mean, it's not a big city, but it seems like a great city.
Oh, it's small and everybody knows each other. And I don't know. Like I can't, first of all, I can't go and be on a dating site. I can't. I cannot have a profile on a dating site because.
Have you tried Christian Mingle? I get emails from them all the time.
There's a Mormon one. Oh, there is a Mormon one. Oh, gosh. What is it? Mormon Single. Single Mormon or something like that. My cousin actually met his wife on it. Anyway, I can't put a profile up there. I mean, that's another thing is that when I meet people, when dating and then somebody asks for my phone number, it's like, don't go Google me, please. Like, I don't know what to say. Because if I don't say that, then they're going to go home and they're going to look me up. That's just the natural instinct, right?
Is that what you do?
I wonder if they're on Facebook, right? Isn't that what you do?
I guess. I mean, I haven't dated anyone new in a decade. So 10 years ago, that's not what I did.
Okay, so imagine that you meet a woman that you're interested in at a bar and you guys really hit it off and you get her name and you get her phone number and you come home and you think, huh, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Yeah, that's probably.
What's the first thing you're going to do?
Yeah, that's probably true. Because you want to find out as much as you can without having to get that information, right?
I mean, we have that tool now that we didn't have, you know, years ago when I was dating before I got married, we did not have that.
And exactly. You just have the name and the number and you called and you got together and that was as complicated as it was.
And so when I say don't go Google me, of course, the first inclination is they're going to go home and Google me. But if I don't say it, they're going to Google me anyway. And then what I say is, and if you see anything, don't believe it. Don't believe anything you read about me. Because there's so much horrifying, horrifying things that have been said about me that come up in search results. And it's like, oh no. Like he's going to go home and he's going to.
Do you actually have to tell people? Like, do you give them that warning? Like,
I do.
A, don't Google me. B, if you do, don't believe any of it.
I do. And because I don't know how else to navigate that. You know what I mean? Because, well, they're going to find my Facebook page, right? Which I guess is fine. And please go find Deuce and read all the stories that I've written on Deuce. Oh, well, they're like, who though? Who? What did I get myself into?
But I almost think, though, like now compared to 5 years ago, social media and blogging has become such a part of society that it's almost understood. You know, maybe they'll Google you and they'll find some things they don't like or that are weird or off color, but then they realize what you do, right? You blog about life. So it's not going to be this website filled with, you know, beautifully curated fiction pieces or something like that, you know. And I guess it kind of weeds people out. If they're going to judge you based on your nonfiction writing about who you are, then you don't want to date them anyway.
Right.
I mean, the rumors are one thing.
That's what I'm talking
about.
And
there's a couple of them. You know, just a few.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people want to believe that there was a huge scandal that ended my marriage. They want to believe that some huge thing, some, you know, some scandalous, egregious thing happened. And
like this unspoken event.
Yeah. And it's really, I hate to disappoint people, but it's a very boring, you know, I guess not to, you know, have too much of a tangent, but I was training for the New York City Marathon in the months leading up to the divorce, and a lot of spending that kind of time to myself running, which I had never done before, that was a catalyst. Just the stuff going on in my brain and what it was, I literally, like, and metaphorically, the jostling of my body and the emotion that it brought up and out of me, like, that was a precursor to the separation.
So, and, not so much an event, just an incredible amount of time to think and reflect, essentially.
Right. And for things to start to make sense and for me to realize why they were making sense. And, there was no scandalous event. And so there's that part of it.
Yeah.
So I began wading into, like, the possibility of dating a few months after the separation is what I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And this is the thing also, is that, so, you know, I wrote a lot about my relationship on my website. It was a curated, I hate that word, sorry, ooh, yuck, shoot me. I wrote stories about my marriage and what it was like to be married, because that was part of the story of, you know, my life and being a parent and whatnot. And so people felt that they had a right to know what happened when the divorce occurred. And they felt betrayed. Some readers felt really, really betrayed that we wouldn't come out with the sordid details. And that felt like I was hugely violated, because it was like, I don't owe you the details of this event that has really, really, really crushed me and that I want to deal with, you know, only inside my family. And it's not something that I want to discuss publicly. And people took sides and they got really angry and made it known to me that they were upset. And so going forward, I was like, I don't ever really want to talk about who I'm dating or if I'm dating, because people feel an ownership of me that makes me really, really uncomfortable, just because it's like, you don't own me. You don't own a part of me. You don't own this. And I don't owe you the details of my romantic life. Do you know what I mean?
Well, and that's the strange thing, I think, about your blog and just the audience that it's generated, because I think there are people, I think a lot of your readers understand where you're coming from and that you share some things and you don't share other things, but there are other people, because you are so transparent with certain things, that feel that you are transparent with everything in your life, that everything that you write on your blog is verbatim of everything that happens, that you don't leave out any details, so they therefore have a right to know everything. And I think, I don't like the word privileged, but you know, you open the door to your life and grant people the privilege to see what you want to show them. You know, and you are very open, and I'm not saying that all of your content is curated by any means, but it's sort of an odd assumption to think that you have a personal blog and therefore you should share absolutely every detail about your life.
Right. It's what I choose to share. And some people even think that that's not fair. You know what I mean? That I should be able to choose what I share.
But it's your life.
Right.
And that's where the disconnect is. Like for I think for those people, you are, in a sense, your entertainment. And
yes,
you should just give and give and give and give until they're satisfied, which would be never. But you can't do that. And that was never really the point of it, right? I mean, when you first started Deuce, it was not to reveal every moment of your life.
No, it's to write stories,
right,
is what it is. And right. I, when I wrote a post last a year ago, April, when I retired, when I said that I was pulling back from writing on Deuce, someone actually commented and was like, I can't believe that you are taking your girls away from us. And that's when I was like, okay.
Oh, that's okay. A little creepy.
Well, it's like, that's you know, you need some boundaries here. That's not okay. And somebody asked me after that, like, why don't you make Deuce a subscription model? And I'm like, because that comment right there, you think they don't pay for my content at all. They haven't paid for my content for 15 years. You think that making them pay for my content isn't going to make certain people feel really, really that they have, like, they own a stake in me physically.
Right. I pay for this. You need to tell me everything.
Right. So I was like, I would never do a subscription model just because of that feeling of ownership.
Yeah, that people already have.
Right.
This possessive entitlement.
Right. And so I went into dating, you know, really being really uncomfortable with wanting, I really didn't want to invite people into that part of my life again. And yeah, it's.
but you did.
I did, yeah.
Or you have. I won't say that you did, not that it's a continuous thing, but you have.
I have, yeah. And yeah. And another reason that I didn't want to, and I have to do this even with my friendships, is I have to tell my friends when I'm featuring them in an Instagram photo, first I get their permission if I'm gonna put them anywhere online. Like, I have to tell them, I would like to put you on Instagram, but here's the warning, is that a certain group of people online are going to go find out who you are, and they're going to very creepily find out everything about you, and then they're going to go talk about it online and try to make you into a horrifying human being because you're associated with me. It happens all the time.
Even just to your friends?
Yes.
Wow.
The horrifying things they have said about my friends. I mean, they go and they find out details about my friends' lives. It's really crazy. And then if I'm putting out who I'm, you know, romantically involved with, like, that person has to know that, especially that I'm romantically involved with someone, those people are going to go nutso on him. And him or her.
Shaking it up.
I would say. Maybe there was a scandal.
Oh, go. There we go.
But they have to understand that their entire history of life on Earth is going to be investigated and talked about and twisted to make them into some sort of horrifying human being. And I don't want to do that to the person I'm romantically involved with. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't want to do that to anybody.
No, I don't. I
mean, you don't really wish that on, like, any single person. I don't even know how those people have time to devote that much to hate. But, you know, that's like another 7 episodes.
But it's just a warning that I have to give to people in case they stumble across it. Just to say, like, you know, it's only because of your association with me. They really, really, really hate me and want to take down every part of my life, and you are a part of my life, and just ignore it. But it's going to be said.
Right. And you have to accept. And I think with friends, not that it makes it any easier, but, you know, especially with some of these longer term friendships that you've had, they now kind of understand the drill, right? But to meet someone new and say, here's my number, don't look me up online. But if you do, don't believe any of it. And if we do decide to date and people find out, they're going to write some things like that about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some big baggage to hand to someone. It is. I mean, it's a hard, and it's terrible because it has nothing to do with you. I mean, it has everything to do with you, but not you yourself.
Right. And it's, so that makes dating difficult. It's an aspect of dating that didn't exist for most people, especially me, you know, 10 years ago. And now it is, like, at the top of, like, it's this glaring, bright neon sign of, guess what, if you are romantically involved with me and people find out, this is going to happen. Really, like, last year, I went on a road trip with like four of my friends to Central California, to the Central Coast.
And oh, yeah.
my friend Piper found all this horrifying things that people were saying about her. And we were in the car cackling. I mean, that's, they understand. And she was reading all of it in this in this crazy voice because they were making fun of her thighs. Literally,
oh,
it goes to that. And we were sitting in the car. We were laughing so hard, I almost crashed the car. But yeah, that's the drill now. And yeah, I posted photos when I was in a relationship, and I did post photos, and I won't go into the reasoning behind that. And they went and dug up everything they could about him, and it was really awful. It was terrible.
And he probably didn't anticipate that. And I think you probably do.
I warned him. Oh. I warned him. Okay. And I said, this is going to happen. And this is why I don't want to post photos, is because I don't want to do this to you.
But even though you know it's coming, does it still, I don't want to say catch you off guard, but do you still find yourself shaking your head? Like, why?
Why? This
why
is
do
what
you
I
keep
feel.
Digging?
I kind of feel evil. Because I feel like I am pulling strings, and it's so easy. Like I know when I'm writing something or I'm tweeting something, I know that if I say it a certain way, it's going to send those people off their rockers. And so when it does send them off their rockers, I just kind of sit back and I cross my arms and I make the smoking cigarette motion. It's like, I guess you just got played. You just got played because I knew what you were going to do.
But it's so ridiculous to me. I mean, this entire episode is focused on, right, relationships and having time and making time and introducing them. I barely have time to maintain all the relationships that I want to maintain with people that I like. I can't even imagine having the time and spending that much time on someone that I don't like. I mean, for people to dislike you enough to devote that much energy, mm-hmm. I can't even, it's not that I walk around and I like everybody, but if I don't, I just turn my back. Like I don't have time for that. I don't have the energy to devote to you. I'd rather save that energy for someone else that I care about.
Right. I'd rather save that energy for taking a nap. Right. I would really like to take a nap.
Napping would be good.
So has Lexton met Heather's husband? Oh, my God. She got married. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's a totally, yeah. I mean, that's a totally different layer of relationshipping, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did. I mean, he didn't meet him until when did they meet? Until after they were married. And I think when he met them, I think he knew that they were married. He found that out late, but I think he knew at that point in time. And it was, I don't want to say it was anticlimactic, but it kind of was, because I don't really think he knew how to respond. You know, I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't negative. He didn't freak
out.
Did
you guys sit him down and say, this is your mother's husband? Did you guys do that?
Well, we sat down and said, that, you know, when he moved out with me, that she was in a relationship. She was already married, but we didn't say that at that point in time. And then it wasn't until a couple months later that she talked to him about the fact that she was married.
Okay.
Now, her husband wasn't there with her. It was just, you know, Heather and Lexton having this conversation. But in
and
terms,
you weren't there?
I was not. She wanted to talk to him on her own. So I said, that's fine. And he talked to me about it. You know, I remember he came in the house and she left, and because it was at my house, they were outside. And he said, you know, Mom told me something. I said, okay. He said, did you know that she got married? I said, yeah, I did. And he just kind of looked at me and went, huh. So what do you think about that? I don't know. Seems kind of weird, you know, and it wasn't weird because of the person. It's weird because he's 11 and he just found out about this, Right.
Well, and he's mature enough to understand the logistics of all of that. Right. This is not a 6-year-old.
Right. And but it's like he's mature enough to understand it, but I could see his brain still kind of trying to reassemble these pieces, you know, because he thought he had an understanding of relationships and our relationship and all of that. And then all of a sudden, it's like half the pieces to that puzzle got pulled out and a handful got thrown down. And now he's got to figure out how they fit, which is, I mean, it's difficult for me to figure out how that all happened when I start to look back at it. And I'm 31. So for him, it's totally bizarre. You know, right, and it has made him, because it all happened so quickly and he was so out of the loop, that it has made him incredibly skeptical of my relationships and really nervous. And right. I haven't even started dating, and that's part of it. You know, but there was a point where we went into Chicago because a friend of mine was visiting from out of town, a woman. And I said, let's go down. You know, she's heard a lot about you and she'd like to meet. We've never dated. There were no plans to date. It was just a friendship. And he looked right at me and he said, your friend? I said, yeah, my friend. He said, what do you mean friend? Huh. And I was kind of confused, right? Because he knows what a friend is. And then it clicked with me that that's what he was told while everything was happening with Heather, that he was just a friend. And then that friend went from a friend to moving in to marrying his mom in months. So in his mind, like, oh, great, dad's going to take me to meet his friend and then they're going to get married. And that makes it so difficult. Now, well, and then to think about, like, this is someone I want to date. You want to talk about panic? I mean.
Right. Well, that's a natural, I think that's a natural reaction on his part.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it makes sense. It's just that shouldn't be how he reacts. I should be able to say, hey, do you want to meet my friend? And he goes, oh, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's not. It's like the meaning of friend has completely changed. It's almost been tainted.
Right.
Because everything happened so quickly.
It's almost like it's his, this like survival instinct for him is like, wait a minute. Like the friend now is triggering something in his brain.
Exactly. Exactly. Like friend immediately goes from friend to relationship to marriage. Like that must be how this happens.
Right.
Because that's the most recent example.
I mean, if you think about it, like he didn't go to the wedding.
No. I mean, when the wedding happened, he didn't even know it was happening.
Right.
And I think he's still at a point, I mean, like we've talked about so many times before, that he's pretty advanced for his age, but he's still an 11-year-old boy. And I think he still hasn't necessarily pieced together that hurt that, you know, my mom got married and I wasn't there. I wasn't invited.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he was an 11-year-old girl, that would be very clear. I think that would probably have hit harder. But I do think that as time passes, he's going to realize that, you know, this happened and this is a really big event in people's lives. And I wasn't even aware that it was happening.
Right.
And that, I think, is going to be another big bump for him when that finally starts to settle in.
When you do start to date, actually, when you do go way into that cesspool, like, it's a major thing that you're going to have to, you know, like, talk to him about. Like, I can see, because Lita is the same. And actually,
is she skeptical, Lita, like nervous of?
She panics. Okay. I mean, I'm a pro at dating long distance. Nobody's better than me at dating long distance. And Lita has a desperate show of emotion has said to me, we're not going to move, right? She said this to me, you're not going to leave and go there, right? It's like, oh my gosh, Lita, absolutely not. No, you are the most important thing in the world. I would never leave. And no. Like this is like, there's an understanding when dating, like I'm not leaving Utah. I'm not leaving, you know, my family here. But it's a desperate, like, are you going to leave? And
because that's what she's seen.
Like, yeah.
In her mind, a relationship starts and you go.
Hi. Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius Podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
Well, so I actually dated someone and didn't introduce him to the kids for over 18 months. Which
really?
Is, yeah.
Did they know about him?
They knew about him probably about 6 months into it, because we were still going through the logistics of the divorce, and I didn't want to, and we had moved, you know. Their father had gone into a condo. We moved out of the house that we were living in into a new house. There's all this change happening. Lita changed schools. And that's
oh, right.
a dramatic story that I will never go into. But there was all this change going on at the same time that I didn't want to introduce this at all into her psyche. And so I waited for about 6 months into it before I ever mentioned what was going on. And then it was 18 months after the beginning of it before he met the kids.
Well, how did you mention it? Like, how did you bring it up to them? Because it had already been 6 months.
It had already right? been 6 months. And I was going to leave to go across the country to see him for a weekend. And I sat her and Marlo at the time, I think she was four. She didn't understand very, you know. And I just said, I am seeing someone and I'm going, you know, for the weekend. And that's how I, you know, this is someone very important to me. And, you know, you're going to be with your dad this weekend. This is where I will be. And that's how it happened.
Wow. And how did Lita respond? I mean, like you said, Marlo was a little young, but.
Marlo was a little young. And at the time, you know, Lita was happy for me. She was like, oh, okay. You know, that's interesting. You know, that's basically what her reaction was. That's interesting. Because at the time, the relationship didn't mean to her that there was going to be me leaving and moving across the country. That
right.
was not ever, that wasn't a part of her brain yet.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Because John hadn't moved yet.
No.
I didn't even put that right. So for her, it just was great. Mom, seeing mm-hmm. someone, this is good. She seems happy.
Right.
Right. In her brain, that's probably how she processed it. But then when the move happened...
When the move happened, like her brain has contorted now where dating for me is difficult. She has said to me, you know, I just want it to be the three of us, Mom. I just want it to be me, you, and Marlo. Can we just do that? She said that to me, which I completely understand why she is saying that. I do. But we need to do some work because that's not healthy. It's not healthy. And it's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for her.
Well, I think it's not healthy for you for obvious reasons, right? I mean, it's just, it's not. But then I think that eventually the piece that she doesn't understand especially is that it will become unhealthy for the three of you.
Right.
For you to not see anybody. I absolutely get where she's coming from. And I think if I were to sit Lexton down and ask him, you know, if he was okay with me dating, he would probably say no. Really, just because... He doesn't really know what that means.
Right.
Because, you know, any idea he might have had about dating was completely squashed.
Well, and John, you are his stability.
Exactly.
You are the rock that he is holding on to. And yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting because it'll be unstable. He'll feel unstable, like things are changing again. Because things change so fast for you guys.
I think that's it. I think it's the speed. I mean, I am the stability, and I think it's in his mind, he just sees it start to spiral, right? Like,
right.
He's going to date, and then this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, I'm not going to be involved, and it's going to be terrible, right? Because, and you know, similar to, you know, your situation, you guys moved, and Lita was in a new school. You know, as all of this was happening, you know, Lexton was starting in a new school, and I had to move. And then about 2 months after I moved, Heather moved. And so there's all these changes. And I think for him, all of those changes get lumped into this is what comes with a relationship. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like.
Right.
You know, and if that were the case, I mean, I would probably be hesitant. Like, I don't want all of those changes all over again in that period of time.
No.
It was chaos.
It happened to you too.
Exactly. And the idea of wading in and even trying to date is just, I don't even like to think about it. I don't like to think about how it would work logistically.
Like, are you not on Tinder?
Well, I've got a few profiles, but you know, I wouldn't even know where to start, and it would not be Tinder. But
you gotta go to a bar.
I live in a suburb of Chicago, so the the bar scene here is a little different than it is in an actual city. And people have tried. I mean, all of this happened starting in February, and within 3 months, people were like, "So, are you seeing anyone?" No, I don't even have a house. What am I? Am I going to bring someone home to my ex-in-law's basement? Like, this is pretty cool, you know? I have a mini fridge, so it's
which
nice.
It's kind of worse than me going, please don't Google me. You're like, yeah, you want to come home to this.
Right. I live in a basement at my former in-law's house. So you're welcome to stop by. I mean, come on. I couldn't do it. And somebody emailed me, and a woman I know, and she's older, and she said, "I'd like you." Oh, this was awesome. She said, my granddaughter has a degree in English, and I think it would be really nice if you could mentor her. And mentor was in quotes in this email.
What?
And I thought, okay, well, yeah, sure. And then I included a photo of her for you to look at, right? It was her senior portrait. Senior portrait. Now, granted, she was in college, but she was probably 21 or something. I mean, I opened and I'm like, oh, this is a senior portrait. Like, she could have possibly been 17 when this photo was taken.
You never told me this. Are you serious?
Yes. And so I respond, I'm like, thank you. Yeah, if she wants to hear about writing, we can get a coffee. And that's like, I'm like, there's none of this quote-unquote mentoring going on here.
It's quote-unquote illegal mentoring. Right.
Yeah. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, the bar scene here is ridiculous. I guess I could go meet someone at church, but I'd probably have to go to church in order to meet someone at church.
Oh, man, my dad... Oh man, my dad, who wouldn't get in the boat and go down that crazy river with me, he's like, you know, all those trips that you go on, and the amazing people that you know, and the opportunities and the conferences that you have, and as much travel as you do, you think that you would bring home a doctor or a lawyer or you would think that, Heather. Why can't you get a someone to come home and take care of you? And it's like, oh, dad.
Yeah, why can't you? Come on. Time's a ticking.
Why can't I? Because I don't know if you've read my website and I read about my butt. Like,
so first of all, the lawyers are like, oh, hell, I can't get into that.
I know. Oh, God. It's like, have you read my website, Dad? Do you think there's a certain type of, you know, I'm not hanging out in lecture halls. I did date a professor, though. Oh, I'm not going to get into that.
But I think, though, it sort of leads into this interesting, like, the perfect scenario in my head, having not dated in 10 years, is like half the perfect scenario is someone without kids, because then it's just my schedule that has to be worked around, right? I have to find a sitter, and then I can go out, but they're free. But then they also don't really understand having kids. They don't understand the restrictions. They don't understand it. But then if you date someone with kids who's also a single parent, good luck finding time, right? Mm-hmm. Because what if you know, Lexton is gone the first weekend and her kids are gone the second weekend? Then one of us has to find a sitter if we can. but you also want to spend time with your kids because that's your weekend. So you're caught. So there's no perfect scenario unless you date an 18-year-old.
Right. I mean, do you know how many times my friends and my mom, like, they've sat down and said, okay, so here's what you need.
Oh,
Heather,
no.
Here's what you need. Like, you need an older man who has had kids but they're older. And who, a man who doesn't care that you are you. Like, who can handle all of this, right? A man who isn't intimidated by the fact that you do what you do, but who has older kids, and so he has the time for you. And it's like, okay, so that's not how dating works, you know? That's just not that's just not how it works.
It is on Christian Mingle.
I really should set up a profile there.
I've thought about it so
many
times.
And just see what, you know what? That would make a great Tumblr. The stories I would bring back from that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would support it. We could both set up a Christian Mingle account. We'll just take turns posting.
I know.
From week to week.
And I'm going to use my senior portrait as my profile picture.
But you're right. I mean, like, let's just say for a second they are right, that that's what you quote unquote need. What you actually need is irrelevant. Like, because you can't make this checklist of 15 items. They've got to be this age, and the kids have to be this old, and this is where they have to live, and this is their profession, yada, because that doesn't really exist.
No.
At least not when you first meet someone. Maybe you find someone that fits all of those things, but it takes time to get there.
It takes time. And I don't know, like, chemistry. Chemistry is a wily, you know, nebulous thing, and when chemistry happens, you know, it happens regardless of who that person, it happens regardless of whether that person is older and has older kids, or if they have kids your age, or if they have no kids at all.
Well, and, right, chemistry has nothing to do with that aspect of it.
Right.
I mean, the chemistry will be there regardless. But I think when it starts to get into, you know, how strong is that chemistry and how likely is it to last? That's where things like kids come into play.
Right.
Because you can feel strong chemistry, but if they don't understand single parenting and limited time or whatever, it's not going to work, no matter how much chemistry there is.
Right. If they don't understand that I can't respond to their text because I'm putting two kids to bed by myself and are wondering why is my text not important enough, you know, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah. Because most of the time, you're not going to respond right away.
No.
Maybe because you can't.
No.
And I think, too, it's, you know, since becoming a single parent, I mean, friendships have always been important to me, but I think during all of the chaos of last year and the reflection that I've done, friendships have become much more important. I mean, I hold all of my friends very close. And I think, and that means friends that are men and women, and they're just friendships. And I think, at least in my perspective, that creates sort of a cumbersome situation when you then start dating, because you have these good friends that are men or women,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to cut them out of your life.
Right.
Right. So you have to find someone who's understanding of that, you know, that your friendships matter and you're an adult and you can have friendships with adults, right?
It's almost like you have to sit down and have a physics lesson. Like, okay, so here's the thing that happened. Like, time got compressed.
Exceptionally, all of my time, yeah.
Time got compressed, and so I have a very limited portion of it. And I can give you some of it now, but I still have to, like, somehow, I have to produce time out of nothing to give to you and to the other important people in my life. Like, you have to sort of have that conversation. Like, you have to understand that I have all of these responsibilities that I can't ignore and that are super, super, super important.
Exactly. And they will become one of those. And over time, you know, maybe their importance increases, but it doesn't mean that anyone else's importance decreases necessarily.
Right.
So it's like you have to go out on a date with, like, your, like, a calendar. Like, okay, I can give you 2 hours every third Friday. Will this work? Oh, it will. Great. Okay, we can date. This is fantastic.
I'm going to put you in my Franklin Covey planner.
Oh, God. Oh, Franklin Covey. I used to have a Franklin Covey.
Oh, man. I live in Utah. Franklin Covey is still a huge thing.
So you've got like a whole collection of them?
Oh, yeah. I've got a closet. It's in my nanny closet.
So that's what they do when you're not actually using them. They just organize the Franklin Covey.
Yes. Oh. I've got to move. My butt hurts. Sorry. This setup. I got to change the setup here.
Yeah. We're not used to sitting still, even though we write.
No, get this. You know what? Sometimes, normally when I'm talking to you on the phone, I'm walking around the room because I'm trying to get steps in on my Fitbit.
That's why you see, I just pace when I talk. It's just what I do. But you have an actual purpose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
this is
God.
Whenever I take conference calls, if I know that I'm not going to have to take notes, like I'm walking around the room constantly. And so I thought, am I going to be able to sit down and talk with you, like sitting down, talking to you? Are words going to come to my brain? Because I'm normally in motion when I'm talking to you. And because I'm trying to beat my mom. I'm just trying to beat my mom. That's it. That's the only reason.
On the Fitbit? That's the whole reason?
That's the whole reason. Oh, yeah. I've never beat her. I think I beat her once. But it was cheating. I was in Tanzania, and I ran a half marathon that day, but we were in these vans to and from the actual race. The vans were the roads were so bumpy that it thought I was walking, and it thought that I walked another 14 miles that day. So the day that I beat my mom was the day that the van made me walk 14 miles.
So even with just the half marathon, you wouldn't have been there?
No. Wow. No. My mom walks 21,000 steps a day.
What? How is that even possible?
She's 60 years old, too.
Wow.
The woman she's insane. I do not fall far from the tree.
That's even on the days where I consider myself to be fairly active, when I'll go out and run and try to walk as often as possible, it's like 12,000 maybe.
Oh yeah, maybe.
And the days that I'm not active, it's like 1,200. I don't know. I mean, sometimes there's a lot of sitting involved, right? There's not that many steps from where I work to the kitchen, so it's just that's just how it works.
I love this. This is a beautiful deuce tangent is what this is. This is a manic rambling spiral, John.
It is a well-curated manic rambling spiral.
Oh, man. I really do feel like we should have like some sound effects from Bobcat Goldthwait here.
No.
We do.
We'll have to work on that. Just periodically in the background.
I'm really interested to see what happens when you start dating.
Oh, I'm not even interested in seeing what happens.
Oh, and you know what's gonna happen is that people are gonna have rumors that you and I are dating. That's what's gonna happen.
Oh, that's gonna happen before this episode even goes online. I guarantee it. Right, because that's in everyone's mind. That must be why we do the show.
That must be why. Yes, exactly. I did mention long distance.
That is true, and. Yeah, we talk on the phone, so what else can we feed them?
And we text quite a bit.
True.
We
email.
We do email. Yeah. We had dinner together.
Yes. That was, yeah. Wow. That was like
with
3 years ago. With liquor.
With liquor.
Just one glass, though, right? Because
we are
in
Utah, giving them
there's
everything
only one glass.
We're giving them everything they need to formulate the fact that we are dating.
For three, and because we had that meal the day before your mediation, there's so much room for them to build this up.
Oh, totally. We need to be seen in public together.
We do. Should we? Maybe we can be seen in public, and then we can just write it for them. Here you go. Here's what you can start with, and you just choose your own adventure from here. That's all we need.
That's all we need.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. The dating, though, is going to be, okay, I this sounds really incredibly lazy. I don't want to put in the work. I feel like I already put in the work to date. Like, nobody wants to date, right? I guess not nobody. Some people love it, but I don't. I don't want to date. I don't want to go through that again. I just don't want to. And it's been 10 years, so you kind of forget. You kind of forget.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, man. Meeting interesting people is fun.
That was so convincing. Yeah, that was, you sold me on it right there.
Yeah.
But is the long, I mean, you've done the long distance. Is that in some ways easier or is it harder?
You know, I don't know because I haven't dated anybody in Utah.
Oh, you've only done long distance.
I've only done long distance. Oh. And so all I know is that nobody is in my space. Nobody is hogging the covers. Nobody is like leaving the toilet seat up. And I do my thing with my girl. I do the thing with my girls. And then, you know, then they go see their father and I go, you know, long distance. And so, yeah, it may be easier. I don't know. So,
but you won't find out because you're not going to date anyone in Utah. But you've tried, right? I mean, you've been on dates in Utah.
I have been on dates in Utah. Yeah.
Just nothing that ever panned out.
No.
And do some of these people know you already? Like because of who you are? Because if Salt Lake is that small of a city.
Right.
You know, do people already know? Oh, you're that Heather. Oh.
I haven't dated anybody like that. No.
Okay.
No. No. I've only dated a few people here and they're going to listen to this.
It just didn't work out. It just didn't work out.
It just didn't work out.
The chemistry wasn't there.
Yeah. Here's a clue. Don't yank my phone out of my hand when I'm at a concert and I'm taking a photo of the person on stage. It's just that simple. Don't do that to me.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Just don't yank. When I'm trying to take a photo of this amazing band in this amazing venue, don't yank my phone out of my hand. Yeah. That's almost as bad as calling me without texting first.
Wow.
Don't ever just cold call me. Who do you think you are?
When we talk, we don't even cold call. I mean, we will set a time to talk. You know, let's talk at 11. And then at 5:02, one of us always, you still good? Is it okay if I call?
Exactly.
Because you don't know. And I mean, 95% of the time, yeah, it's fine. But I don't know. I mean, there's no way of knowing. And it's so easy to text.
It is.
And I guess if I ever cold called and didn't get an answer, I'd be like, oh yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that. That was bad.
How many times somebody will call me without texting first, and I have almost thrown my phone across the room. Like, what are you doing? Why would you ever do that? Why? this is the thing, is that we grew up like that. We grew up with people just cold calling, but why now is it just, it's an intrusion. It's such an intrusion.
It's totally an intrusion because you have to answer it. I mean, before, you know, you could just not answer. You could screen it.
But because they know that your phone is on your person.
And I think that's why it's an intrusion, because it's always with you. You know, 15 years ago, it was a house phone. If you didn't answer, maybe you weren't home. Maybe you whatever. But now the assumption for most people is you didn't answer because you saw it was me and you didn't want to answer.
Exactly.
Which, yes, that's possible. But, I mean, it could be any 100 other reasons. You know, I was already on a call or I was driving or whatever. I don't know. I mean, there's so many things that go on.
I saw it was you.
Yeah, you're right. I did see it was you and I didn't answer because you didn't text first. We talked about this. It's just unspoken.
These little rules that we have. I mean, dating really is so different than it was when we got into, you know, our long-term relationships. And I don't think anybody ever goes into parenthood thinking, you know what's going to be real fun is dating with kids. You know, that's going to be super fun. Like, I don't think you ever go into it thinking it's going to be that you're ever going to be in that situation, because you're marrying or you're getting into a relationship with the person you're going to be with the rest of your life or for eternity.
Exactly.
And dating is not an option. And then you have to weigh, you got to weigh your needs with, what your children are going through. And you have to really, and what your children are going through is tantamount.
Absolutely.
So for those of you who have introduced relationships to your kids, how did that go? How did you introduce your romantic interest to your children? And how many profiles do you have on Tinder? You want to know.
We would love to hear the stories, the good, the bad, everything in between. So you can email us at stories@manicramblings.com. And you can always find us on various social networks like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings.
You know what I think we should do is put up our senior pictures up on Instagram. I think we need to do that.
Oh, it's going to be horrendous. I just recently saw mine like a month ago,
awesome.
And I never wanted to remember that.
And the caption is going to be, quote, illegal mentoring, unquote.
Illegal mentoring.
Until next time, you guys, swipe left. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.